Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Biggest game other game. Than a Super Bowl, I would argue, it's on this show, right? Like, I know they've had AFC title games to go to a Super Bowl, but this is whether or not this playoff run continues or not on Sunday. And we're going to talk all about it throughout the show. Chiefs, Colts, noon kick right here on 96.5 The Fan. Coming up in 30 minutes, we'll get the Colts perspective. We'll go out to Indy and check in with John Michael Vincent. He hosts radio for 107.5 in Indy. Drew, didn't you intern with him, I believe, back in the day? Isn't that the connection here?
So should we ask him if he was a good intern?
We should. We definitely should. We'll get that question in and ask him. I honestly am curious. How are Colts fans looking at this game? Because in Kansas City, we all know what's at stake and everything. And a lot of people are very, very down, understandably so. Everybody's nervous, I think, heading into Sunday and all that. In Indy, they're 8-2, and they know they're playing a team that could not be any more desperate than the Kansas City Chiefs. And they have a chance to end the potentially the playoff run. And I understand mathematically.
And to keep the Chiefs out of the playoffs, which seems like a kind of important thing when you're having a golden year with Daniel Jones, right?
So we'll check in with JMV coming up in 30 minutes. Also, Joshua Briscoe at 11 o'clock. It is a fan club Friday. I am told we will have Dana Wright today. She apologized for last week. We'll find out why she was gone last week as well. And she will join us for a little fan club Friday brought to you by Jay Rieger. The cocktail today is Ward 8?
Yes,
I don't know
correct.
If I've ever had one of those.
So I haven't either, honestly. So this will be a first-time experience for both of us. It's got rye whiskey, grenadine, lemon juice, orange juice. It's served no garnish, just up in the like a fancy little tulip glass. So you'll feel like
tulip glass.
Well, it's called a Nick and Nora glass. It's not like that, but it's kind of tulip-shaped.
Okay.
Is what I would say.
All right.
And I brought the proper glassware because I got a decent amount of random glassware at the old home
Why
bar.
Do you have tulip-shaped glassware?
So sometimes if I'm like if I find like used ones or if I'm in a thrift store and I find a set, because I like making cocktails at home, I like having the proper glassware for some cocktails. So I happen to have glasses that were similar in shape. So I went ahead and snagged those. Plus, as you can hear, once you heard Hot Stepper and eventually later Real Brandy, you knew Drew Nixon was back.
He is back.
The whole show's back.
It has been weeks.
It feels
weeks
like forever
since this entire show
in
was
fairness,
together.
Drew was supposed to be here when I returned on
Wednesday. I was supposed to be.
I was out of town. Then, of course, Cody had hernia surgery. Then on Wednesday, we were all supposed to be together. And I'll let Drew take it from here. Basically, I got a phone call at 8:45 Tuesday. I guess it was Tuesday. I was told, hey, we might need someone to fill in for Drew, and I'll let you take it from there. But you're back. What the hell has been going on for the last couple of days?
So on Tuesday, I was in a pretty bad car accident, and I was in a pretty rough car accident. Still sore, kind of recovering, I guess, through that. Better today than I was certainly on Tuesday or Wednesday. A little bit better yesterday too. Even a little bit better today. So yeah, just fighting through it, I guess, you know, it was tough, but I'm happy to be back here.
Yeah, scary stuff. You showed us the photo. I will say, yeah, very lucky that I know you're very sore, but lucky you didn't break any bones and obviously more seriously injured. I mean, that didn't look good, man.
Airbags went off?
Yep. Yeah, airbags went off.
I would hope, based off the photo, it would be a big problem if the airbags didn't go off.
I am very, very thankful that the seatbelt did its job because it could have been a lot worse.
And this was right by work. Without going into too much detail, this was right by our station, right?
Yeah. It was right over here.
Yeah, I'm glad you're back. Glad you're all right.
The show curse is not over you. You watch your ass.
I know. I feel
like I don't know what to tell you. The show feels kind of cursed at the moment.
Yeah, I feel like it's been a bad run for the last
Chiefs
week
aren't winning.
Or so.
I'm having like, surgery. Drew's getting in a car accident.
Yeah.
You gotta tread lightly this week.
I think that's accurate. Yeah, I would say so.
Everyone's glad you're okay and happy you're back.
I must say one thing, though. Drew, this morning, obviously given the car situation, I drove out and picked you up.
Thank you for that again.
No problem. That's not even why I'm bringing it up. If the circumstances were different, I for a half second, I thought about just driving past you. Guys, it's pouring down rain. Drew obviously had a rough week.
Should I put the camera on the one I'm wearing today?
And he comes walking out of his apartment building, all decked out in this. Is this the AJ Green one or the Burrow one? I don't know.
Burrow
one.
That's because he's been a full participant.
The Joe Burrow jersey. And you got right in the car. You had a little smirk on your face as you walked by, waiting for me to comment on it. And I didn't say anything about it the whole drive. I didn't say anything about the whole drive.
I was waiting because part of me was like, should I wear this tomorrow? And I was like, you know what? He's been a full participant. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's go on ahead. And then I thought of you, Golden, how much you despise that team.
do you think that your injuries this week somehow, like that your injury, so Burrow's ahead of schedule. Do you think somehow your injuries, like you took on some of the pain for Burrow so that he could play on Sunday?
I am not going
like
to
a vice
claim
versa
that.
Situation. You know?
I will not claim that at all.
No, okay.
I will not claim that.
Just checking. But we're glad you're back. Glad you're all right. That sucks, man. I know that kind of stuff is a pain I'm about to work with.
I am very happy to be here right now. So I'm very happy to talk about the Chiefs and the Colts. Yeah.
Yeah, huge game. And let's start with the implications, guys. Because look, there's the real scenario. If you lose, not only is it this season, I think, over, even if mathematically they're not done. But then does it change how you approach the offseason? This is a conversation that nobody wants to have yet. And you say, wait until they're out of it. I get it. But I'm just saying, to add to what is at stake here, does it change your thought process about even looking ahead to how this team is going to be built in the future? If, in fact, they have a season where they would, if they lose, drop to 5-6 and most likely be completely out of it.
I'll be honest. If they lose, I think everybody's going to be ready to tear the whole thing down. I think they're going to be like, all right, fire Tope. We'll start there. Trade McDuffie. Let's get some first round picks and start getting some stuff in there. I don't even think it's crazy in the sense that they are a very on paper decent football team this year. Well, if it falls apart this year and they miss the playoffs, then you had a run of 5 Super Bowls in 6 years. Your roster got old and tired, and it's probably time for a full roster reset. And for the first time in what will be a very long time, you would also be staring down the barrel of possessing a somewhat decent first round pick. As in, if you wanted to get to 12 or 11, all of a sudden it wouldn't be crazy. Not saying like you would pick there, but like you could trade yourself up in an area to get the kind of player you very rarely have a chance to get in Kansas City. And so I think it's a big enough game that if you look at where they're at, people are going to be ready for the teardown at the end of this. Now, the good news is that if you win, it's probably the opposite, because if I asked you right now who the best team in the AFC is, if I asked 100 NFL analysts who the best team in the AFC is, I actually think like a third of them would say the Colts. So you kind of immediately feel better about your team by getting.
Who's your answer? Because for me, my answer right this second, who the best team is actually the Patriots.
It would, okay.
Because, and I'm basing it off of quarterback play. And I understand no experience there in the postseason for Drake May. Yeah. The weapons, we went through this the other day, their weapons are not the best of these other teams. But after watching what the Chiefs have done, watching what the Buffalo Bills just did last night, we'll get to that game, and their loss to the Houston Texans, I would, if I could not take Kansas City still, I would take the New England Patriots and Drake May over the Colts, over the Broncos even.
If you ask me today, I think the answer should be the Colts. Drake May is the best quarterback of the three. The Colts have the best roster of the three and are the most complete of the three. And it's not like I'm like moved to tears by Bo Nix's play. He was very good in the Chiefs game, but like there's still part of him that I have some real questions about just the same. And so I think the answer is the Colts. And at the very least, even if you were ranking them all out, they're at worst the second or third best team in the AFC. And you just played the other second or third best team in the AFC in the Denver Broncos. And so to go 1-1 in those, including a game against Denver that they had control of in the fourth quarter, they were not the better team that day, but had a good chance to win that game and let it get away. If they go out and beat the Colts and certainly make a statement in the way they beat the Colts, well, then we're probably having a slightly different conversation. And so I do think that there's a big swing in emotions in this one. Look, not as big of a swing as if you could also give me the Denver game or also give me the Jacksonville game and the team was a couple above. But like by a week from Monday, if they win this game and then beat Dallas, well, then they're 7-5 and things seem to have stabilized a little.
But look at what happened last night with the Texans getting the win, moving them to 6-5. On one hand, look, the Chiefs play head to head, the Texans still in a couple weeks. And so that tiebreaker will sort itself out. You still wanted Buffalo to win last night and it didn't happen. And the Texans defense looked dominant. Like flat out dominant. I don't know about you, the Texans game in a few weeks, if in fact it still matters, if the Chiefs can beat the Colts and beat the Cowboys, if in fact it still matters, that game looks a little tougher now. That defense is absolutely legit in Houston. It was the number one scoring defense for a reason. We saw it firsthand last night on the national stage, what they were able to do to Josh Allen and the Bills, even if they were shorthanded, I don't care. That was a 8-sack performance of Josh Allen. It now sets up though, Cody, If you look at the Cowboys game's an NFC game, so if they're going to lose one, that's the one to lose. Otherwise, between what? The Colts, the Texans, the Broncos, and Chargers. So the other perceived playoff teams or teams fighting. The Chiefs, that's the stretch where they have to go 3-1 in. I think they will beat the Cowboys. This Sunday is one of the three other the other ones I'm talking
Cowboys
about.
Cowboys actually one of the ones they can afford to lose.
They can.
Enough.
They can. But
if they win on Sunday.
But the stretch of games of Colts, Broncos, Chargers, Texans. Now, seeing the Texans get to 6-5, and you need that tiebreaker, that's one that you have to win now.
Yep.
It was already probably, but that's for sure now, I would argue.
And so, that game's going to be ugly because the Texans' defense is good.
Now, it's at Arrowhead. I think that's the one thing. Out of these 3-1, these games I'm talking about, the four, majority of them are at home, right?
The tougher
ones are at home. In fact, I mean, I would argue All the ones that really, really deep down matter are at home.
Yeah, because the Broncos are at home and the Chargers are at home.
Like the Titans
are
on the road. Okay. The Chiefs have no business making the playoffs. So they can't beat the Titans anyway. So
yeah, those games are always so easy because it's like, if you lose to the Titans, well, then I've just been wasting my breath for the last 3 months about this team. And they never had a chance or are not going to have a chance.
I have to admit, though, it's hard not to be way more worried about Houston if, in fact, the Chiefs get to that point where it matters. Than we ever were, right? Like that was with Davis Mills, who looked great, and Stroud will be back here soon. He was great in the first half, but they completely destroyed the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, they did.
The Bills had the fact that the Bills had a chance to score and like a real chance to score late and
that
win the game.
27
hook and ladder, man. That was Boise State. Like that was crazy. The fact that the Bills had the ball on a 1st and 10 at the 12 or whatever. To win with 40 seconds to go is still mind-boggling because that was a game in which the Texans flat out dominated. Other than the James Cook touchdown run, the Texans did not give up anything to Josh Allen and Buffalo all night long.
I got to say, this is a weird year. No, it's because Josh Allen, this goes back to like the Patrick Mahomes thing. If I look at the stats on paper, it's not like Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes are having bad statistical seasons or something. But I think we'd be lying to ourselves if we didn't say something isn't right. And for the first time in what feels like, I don't know, maybe since Tom Brady got hurt, I don't know. Because for the longest time, it was three quarterbacks. It was Manning, Roethlisberger, and Tom Brady who ran the AFC. And then it very quickly changed to Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, and Lamar Jackson that ran the AFC. For the first time in what feels like forever, the AFC has got to be looking at themselves right now and be like, man, all these teams are vulnerable as hell. Bills don't look the same. Chiefs don't look the same. Ravens didn't look the same for a long time. They're on a 4-game winning streak. Do you know who the opponents are? Like, let's not get carried away just yet with their 4 straight against Chicago, Miami, Minnesota, and Cleveland. On the road for 3 of those games, so I'll give them that, at least on that end. But it's not exactly murderer's row that they've been playing over this last couple of stretch. So we'll see what they do over the next few weeks. But something about the AFC and Josh Allen and the Bills just feels off. And if I'm the Bills, if I'm a Bills fan, watching the Texans just kick the hell out of us, watching the rest of that matchup and some of these other games, other than the Chiefs game, is like the only time of the year where they look like their normal selves. I'd be fearful that in a year where finally a couple of these other teams are down, I'm getting nowhere. Josh Allen's just giving the ball away again. He's got 9 picks already on the year. It just feels like a couple of years ago, Josh Allen, where like everything was a little bit off and hinky for a little bit. Not saying they can't make a run in the playoffs. They still got Josh Allen, but there's a chance that you get into the AFC playoff field and none of them are a top 3 seed. The Ravens, Allen, and Patrick Mahomes. There's a chance.
I don't think any of them are going to be a top three seed. I mean, the Ravens win the North; they're going to be the four seed.
Yeah.
So no, I don't. I think that's. I would argue that's already pretty clear, right?
Well, I mean, with that loss last night, you got to think New England's winning their division.
That's what I'm saying. So
feels
Buffalo's
like kind of a lock. Now.
Buffalo's a wild card team. They're going to be the five or six seed probably. And the Ravens, if they get into the dance, the highest seed they're going to be is the four.
I just like it.
Don't you think?
It's hard to, yeah, probably. It's hard to imagine a playoff field where the Ravens are the fourth seed, the Bills are the sixth, and the Chiefs are the seven. What the hell am I watching?
Well, it's set up for a pretty wild postseason.
It's a pretty upside down year in the NFL. And look, there's much worse case scenarios for the Chiefs than if they have to go to Indianapolis and then go to, you know, wherever.
Do you think after watching last night on both ends, let's start with Houston. Like, do you think the Texans now are a playoff team? Because if you think the Texans are making the playoffs, then
no.
Then the Chiefs are barring a Jags or Chargers club, the Chiefs are not making the playoffs. The way the Texans played last night, that defense is going to keep them in every single game.
I also think that a defense like that travels better on a short week. Even though they have won three games in a row, the other two, one was against Jacksonville, obviously. A game that I thought they were supposed to, like, should have lost, but they won. Almost beat Denver. Did beat San Francisco. These are their last five games. Beat San Francisco. Lost 18-15 to Denver. Beat Jacksonville, beat Tennessee, beat Buffalo. That's three impressive wins. One not embarrassing loss. You lost to Denver. That's a good football team. And one win that nobody cares about that they almost lost to Tennessee. My problem is every single game they play gold is by the skin of their nail. And so, like, I think when you play that way, you're going to lose some games. And their remaining schedule is Colts twice, Chiefs, Chargers. And then Arizona, who I don't think is a pushover in the Raiders. And so I just think their schedule is a little too difficult. I think they'll lose a few too many games.
Their offense has been playing, you know, slightly better going in.
They're getting ready to switch quarterbacks again. Davis Mills is out and CJ Stroud
is
back.
As good as Davis Mills was last night, I mean, CJ Stroud, though, still is much more of a problem for your opponent. Like the Buffalo Bills defense, I don't know how many times they stopped the game last night, guys, for injuries. There was, what, three injuries?
Seemed like
some dude
minute.
Looked like he dislocated his elbow or broke his
Hell,
elbow.
Hell, even the ref tore his ACL. They had to stop for that injury.
Yeah.
Or was Achilles or
ACL or popped his Achilles. He got carted off. I've never seen a ref get carted off in a football game. Now, on the flip side, the Bills, do you think they still are going to make it? They're sitting at 7-4. They have the Steelers coming up on the 30th. Then Joe Burrow, it looks like, in Cincinnati. Patriots, who they already lost to once. This time it's in Foxborough. Then the Browns, then the Eagles at home.
But the Browns can make it ugly the way the Texans just did.
And then the Jets.
I mean, yes.
The difference is, though, Davis.
I think the Chiefs are. Yes. And they've got a two-game head start on the Chiefs in that regard.
Okay, so out on the Texans, Bills still in, you think.
Yeah. Chiefs. I still think Chiefs the 7, Bills the 6 or 5.
Okay.
And then I still think the final playoff spot. Now, I will admit, after last night, I think the final playoff spot is between Chiefs, Texans, and Jags. You're asking me to predict, I'd still say Chiefs. But I do think the Texans deserve to be in the conversation for what it's worth. Like, they shouldn't just be ignored in that regard. Like, this is going to be, do you think the AFC, is it just going to be for the first time they get the 1, 2, and 3 seeds and then all the underdogs are going to win? You and I have talked about this before. I don't remember when they made the shift, like 5 years ago, something like that. A 7 seed has never beaten the 2. Matter of fact, the games have stunk. Openly stunk in the NFC and the AFC the entire time. It's never happened. We've never, like, and I know it's a small sample size, but every year there's 2 of those games, Gold, and every year they stink. And the 2-seeded team rolls on past. So either we're getting ready to have a whole upside-down world, and it's all getting ready to go, or really those are the 3 best teams in the league. And then in the AFC, the Denver Broncos, the Indianapolis Colts, and the New England Patriots are the 3 best teams in the AFC. I will say, they got better rosters, and they got young quarterbacks who they don't pay a lot of money to. Or they got Daniel Jones, who's not a young quarterback, but a quarterback they don't pay a lot of money to. And usually that adds for an advantage for a couple of years before eventually the paychecks catch up.
Watching Buffalo and where they're at, do you think 2 things? One, the talk about Joe Brady being a head coach or whatever. That offense in Buffalo, once they lost Keon Coleman, who wasn't even any good. And I still think it's crazy, by the way, if you're going to go into a game with the wide receiver room they had on the road against Houston, Keon Coleman, maybe he showed up late to a meeting or whatever. To me, you got to still play the guy. And you're like, oh, you got to set the culture and all that. In a game like that on a short week against that kind of defense for a guy that you drafted a year ago in the first round or whatever, early second round, barring, unless he says did something completely terrible, I think you have to play him. Do what the Cowboys did with CeeDee Lamb and Pickens. All right, they were late to a meeting or curfew or whatever it was. They sat out a drive, and that was it.
Yeah, like, they just benched him.
And I'm not saying Keon Coleman is great. He's been a vastly disappointing player, underachieving player. But that kind of stuff makes no sense to me sometimes. With like you're so dead set on like trying to prove a point when that player though in that spot you kind of needed him at least to give you another option, knowing the weapons you were down in that particular game. But Joe Brady, that guy's going to be a head coach. Okay, they should bring back Brian Daboll as an analyst the rest of the season.
They didn't get along. That was part of the reason he left.
They should bring him back as an analyst or consultant the rest of the season. If I'm Buffalo,
Look, someone's going to play this in Buffalo and be like, "Are you kidding? They just beat the Chiefs 2 weeks ago." I'm sorry, the Chiefs roster is better than the Bills. The Bills have roster problems. Like they do not have offensive talent outside of Josh Allen and James Cook. Khalil Shakir's fine. He's a perfectly fine NFL player. But if he is your number one, have to, must go to weapon, you got problems. And they don't have a particularly good pass rush, and I'm not in love with their secondary or their defense. They feel like a lose in the divisional round or earlier type of roster, even if they do, and I think they will, make the postseason. The Chiefs still seem primed for a better postseason run if both of them are in it later.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, the game from Buffalo last night was worse than, not that it matters, the record of ultimately the Bills are still in a better position and the Bills beat the Chiefs, but I'm with you. I don't think the Chiefs looked as bad as the Bills looked like last night, other than maybe week one. Like as down as everybody is on Kansas City and how frustrated, and I'm not even just talking margin of defeat where like the Chiefs have been 0-5 as we know in one score games. That performance offensively from Buffalo, other than the Chargers game in week one for Kansas City, they've never looked like that. No. Despite how frustrated we have been. That was terrible last night from Buffalo offensively.
I will say, in order to get the win on Sunday, there is one thing I think is really important for the Chiefs. And that's, so like, we know every game's a playoff game moving forward because they can only afford to really lose one game gold the rest of the way out of the remaining seven. That means, even though I was asking for it to rein it in a little in the early part of the season, when the season didn't feel so desperate. Okay, Mahomes, you got to run like it's the playoffs again. Throw your body at defenders. Reach for this. Like, I want him running like it's the 2024 playoff run now. The rest of the way, his legs have got to be playoff-level weapon. He's got to go to that option sooner because I do think they have an issue with getting some guys open. And he does run different and a different style when the playoffs hit. Playoffs start now. For the first time in the entire Patrick Mahomes era, the playoffs are starting on November 21st. Which means his legs are going to have to be a portion of this the rest of the way. And so I'm hoping we start seeing more and more of that, honestly, moving forward, because I think it's going to have to be a weapon.
I agree partially with that. I'm with you that I think he's going to do and has to do everything possible, of course, to go out there and win. And if it means that he's going to be a little more aggressive with how he puts his body on the line, basically, I'm with you. I think it's the spot where you have to do that. I don't think, though, and I know you're not fully discussing this, but I also think we've seen, though, when he tries to do everything, that's actually when they've been, when he's thrown the red zone interceptions and made mistakes. If you're just saying that, hey, he's got a chance to scramble, and instead of going out of bounds, maybe you do need to go try to dive for the first down. Like
Tennessee Titans run
that
this
kind
thing.
Of stuff.
Yep.
I'm with you there, but I don't want him trying, like, as much as he is he, of course, is Patrick Mahomes, and he's got to put the team on his back kind of thing. I think we have seen, though, in the red zone in particular, when he feels like he has to do that, that's when all three of the back breaking red zone turnovers have occurred. And we saw it play out that way against Denver when he was trying to do just a little too much instead of just throwing the football away. So it's that balance. I'm with you, but I also think he's got to be much smarter in the red zone than what he has.
But in those first few, when they were like trying to get back on track and he had started running a little bit more, in those first two games, it was too much, right? He ran for 57 and 66 yards, both losses. Then he didn't run at all for two games in which they won. Then he ran for 60 yards and they lost. And then for the next three games where they won, he was running the amount I want. Four carries, 30 yards, multiple first downs. To your point, I don't want six or seven carries for 70 yards. There is like a sweet spot. But over the last two games in which he felt like he's been under duress a little bit more, they were still trying to figure out the offensive line, he has just two carries for 8 yards total. And that's not enough. Their offense works better when he is working in freelance. So like even on that ball he shoves down the sideline, I need him using his body rather than trying to squeeze it into a tight window throw and not just scrambling for the throw, but scrambling for first downs and just keeping drives alive, especially on these like third and shorts and fourth and shorts when they're having to go for these extra to keep the team on the field to get the points they know they need. I need to see it be more of a weapon than it has felt recently is part of the issue. It is weird. He has run almost none the last 2 weeks. He's also been sacked 3 times each in the last 2 games. But when he runs for like that 30-yard mark, it's about perfect, and it's when they win. Like he's got games when he doesn't run and they win, but those are in games in which I think they handled things relatively
Thinking easy. Of running and mobility, you guys think it's a nothing burger on Daniel Jones popping up on the injury report? We're going to ask our next guest here in a second, but
yeah.
Calf injury all of a sudden, just out of nowhere. Look,
just cuts his mobility
down. He's
going
to play on Sunday, but yeah. Well, they should be blitzing him no matter what, whether he's healthy or not. I mean, I think the Chiefs have to try to get after Daniel Jones. But up next, let's find out kind of the latest on the health front for Daniel Jones. How are they feeling about the Colts going into this matchup? John Michael Vinson, he hosts a radio show out there for 107.5 FM. He will join us right here on Cody and Gold.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
All right, just getting started here on a Red Friday in Kansas City. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp with you. Drew Nixon is back. He's producing the show. We will get to one of the crazier betting trends, Cody, I've seen of the entire season. It's very telling if you're trying to figure out how on earth are the Chiefs favorites?
Yeah.
Considering their record, considering the Colts record, considering the doom and gloom that exists around the Chiefs currently. But it's one of the more fascinating trends that maybe makes you feel a bit better if you're a Chiefs fan about this spot on Sunday. We'll get to that in just a bit. But I want to welcome in John Michael Vinson, JMV over on 107.5 The Fan in Indianapolis. Our producer was an intern, my understanding, for you, JMV. So I got to know, how was he as an intern? Was he still rocking the Joe Burrow? I guess it would have been Joe Burrow jerseys, but
Carson
Cincinnati,
Palmer.
Carson Palmer,
Andy Hushman Dalton.
Zada gear back then too?
Yeah, he was. He was Mr. Bengals back in the day. I mean, he rolled in there with everything, you know, and doing the icky shuffle and all that stuff all the time, man. It would drive you insane. But he had moments with Joe Burrow, obviously, as you guys know, where things worked out. But no, seriously, he was really good, and it does not surprise me at all that he's surrounding himself with good people there in Kansas City, because he was really good. You could tell he was going to be good. You guys know this, right? You could tell when somebody's going to make it
for
or maybe
sure.
When somebody's not. You absolutely knew that he was going to make it, make an impact, and continue to do it.
I thought you were going to make fun of him, and instead you turned into a genuinely nice moment.
I'm not going to make fun of him. Yeah, we'll wait a little bit, right? So we'll wait a minute. No, I want to. I just was always really proud of him because he always worked really hard. And yeah, sometimes that's hard to find in what we do today, but he does a great job at it for sure.
I think it's been, we had Jan maybe once before, and it was a much different spot for Indianapolis then than where the Colts sit. What is the feeling in Indianapolis right now coming off of a bye week, seeing what is happening in the AFC right now and the Colts being right there at the top?
Well, a bit of a red flag yesterday, because I don't know if you guys noticed this, but Daniel Jones was limited in practice participation. And coming off a bye week, and especially the past 2 games in which he's been knocked around. They turned the football over 6 times, and you know his ball security along with the protection by his offensive line in the past 2 Steelers and Falcons games have not been good. In fact, that has profoundly affected just how good this was. One of the higher level, if not the highest level offense leading up to that Pittsburgh game that we have seen around here in Colts history. Now that goes back and predates Indianapolis, goes back to Baltimore, to where you have to find like Johnny Unitas numbers. That was even better, their beginning offensively, than that of any year in the Manning era. But it has tailed off in the past couple of weeks, fellas, and the past couple of games, I should say, in this case. And the reason being, the protection hasn't been the same, and Daniel Jones' ball security with that protection not being there has been compromised. That has been problematic, certainly. Hopefully, in that bye week, they worked out a solution for that, because I know the Chiefs, they're not a team that this season really prolifically at all get after the quarterback. And Steve Spagnuolo is one of the better defensive coordinators in the NFL. So I'd expect probably trying to dial up some things. But the red flag yesterday was the health of Daniel Jones. Now, everybody assures me that, you know, it's going to be okay, but I think you guys know this with quarterbacks here in Indianapolis, those are normally famous last words in the past like 15 or so years. So I'm not saying everybody's holding their breath, but I think everybody wants to get a glimpse of him at practice coming up here in just a little bit to make sure everything is going to be okay for Sunday.
When the offense was working, what was it and how were they attacking teams? Because what I'm trying to figure out is if they get back to that, how is Indianapolis taking advantage?
Well, think about it in this fashion. Okay, I'm going to go old school Kansas City on you guys, if you don't mind. Think about it like the 1985 Royals winning the World Series. They would come at you with a little bit of offense, and then they would bring in a closer, right? So you had a little bit of offense, you get George Brett going, and Brett Saberhagen had a great year. Offense would be humming, and then they'd bring in Dan Quisenberry, who would shut the door. So think about it in terms of the Colts. They'd come out there, they'd throw it around. Now, these were all designed, you know, nothing that was really out of rhythm. And I think that was the key word when they were really going, guys, was they had a definitive offensive rhythm that was not being denied. Wherever they went, whoever they played against, when you think about it, they gave away that Rams game in Southern California with some knuckleheadery from a wide receiver that's no longer here in A.D. Mitchell, or they would have won that game. So they were going at a clip in which we've never seen, and then they would close the door with Jonathan Taylor. So what I'm saying is, you know, they set up the game to win it by passing it and then setting up the guy I think is the MVP of the league so far in Jonathan Taylor. And then he would shut the door on things. And that's how things are going. But most recently, he rushed for 45 yards. They were really shut down against the Steelers. It was amazing. That was a one-score game at the end because they turned the ball over six times. And then if you saw in Berlin, going back a couple of weeks ago, I mean, they had to ride his shoulders. Now, Daniel Jones had a great third down scramble to get them within striking distance on that final drive to tie it up. And they completed that fourth down pass to Tyler Warren. But he had a great third down, third and long scramble to put them in position. But it was all on the shoulders of Jonathan Taylor. So that's flipped. And I don't know, guys, on Sunday if maybe that script may maintain. Maybe they start out with Jonathan Taylor, try to run the football, and then set it up for a more comfortable, relatable pass play playbook that we saw starting the season that was always kind of the lead dog in this. But it clearly some things after the past two games are going to have to change offensively for the better.
We're talking to John Michael Vincent from 107.5 The Fan in Indy. Do you think the Colts are the best team in the AFC? And if not, who is it right now?
Here's what's funny about it. I think they are. And they haven't proven to me they're not. I don't know what you guys think. I think others around the AFC have proven that they're not. Maybe with the exception of Denver, but the Colts do have a win over Denver. And I'm not sidestepping at all Kansas City, because I think we all know how potent they can be if they get their groove back. And hopefully for Colts fans, it's not coming up there on Sunday. But, I mean, you look at Buffalo last night, they kind of knock around. You know, the toughest division in the NFL is the one in which the Chiefs are a part of, the AFC West. And you know, you don't count on a lot there. You look at the Chargers, look good 1 week, look horrible the next. You know, Denver, you still question Bo Nix and that offense, I think, and their capabilities sometimes. And there's just really, you know, New England. I mean, are you really going to ride on, you know, Drake May and New England? Probably not. So there's not a really good feel. So I got to ask, you know, why not the Colts? I mean, the record, I think, shows that. I think they have proven that, but I think that's the rest of the world, and this is why this is going to be a major test for them on Sunday, because they don't care about the proving it to the rest of the world, the yip-yapping part, but they do care about it in terms of getting back on track. But there is a part of a proving ground for them in Kansas City. You know, can they do they really look like an 8-2 team against a really good team, even though that squad at 5-5 has not been recently what it has in the past?
We've been saying all week that teams don't fear the Chiefs anymore. You know, some of the comments from Sean Payton, even at halftime of the Broncos game, saying, you know, they're more of a first half team, which that tells me, you know, teams aren't worried about them closing out games anymore. We all know the one score difference from a year ago. The Chiefs were 12-0 in one score games. They're 0-5 this year. Do you sense, whether it's from fans, certainly, and I'm sure not inside the Colts organization, but are people looking at the Chiefs, though, as still that big juggernaut? Are the Chiefs very vulnerable to you guys in Indianapolis?
Well, let me tell you, guys, it's funny. Like, people probably would have that sense of vulnerability for the Chiefs because it doesn't look to them as it has in the past. But the Colts have said all the things you have to say. I mean, you still have one of the, if not the greatest of all time, under center. And, you know, this thing could pop back in place in a moment's notice. You just don't want it to happen against you. And, you know, and I think obviously a lot of the mistakes, at least when I have watched them, and not so much under the microscope like you guys will, but when I watch them, you know, Mahomes just doesn't look as comfortable doing what he has done in the past as of right now. But that doesn't mean he can't step into a phone booth and come back out and do it coming up on Sunday. So, I mean, the fans can say that around here. The team certainly is not saying that. They kind of view it as the same old Kansas City. I mean, you're going to go in their building coming up on Sunday. And, you know, really, if you want to break things down, you can break down the fact that the Colts really haven't beaten or played a difficult schedule to this point as it ramps up coming up on Sunday. So they're not going to say this either, but there is a level of proof that the Colts have to show. And that starts, and really you got two teams trying to prove themselves, one trying to stay on course and the other trying to get back on course. Kind of an interesting dynamic, I think, at work at Arrowhead on Sunday.
What about on the defensive end? We talk a lot about the Colts offense. Where can, if the Chiefs can, take advantage of them defensively? We know they've got a lot of weapons, but the Chiefs have obviously not exactly been humming on offense. So where are the Colts weak?
Well, it's interesting, guys. Secondarily speaking, they went out and made a big deal. So this has been different. You had some time with Chris Ballard. I know they're in Kansas City. He's not always been the biggest fan of mine, but that's okay because it took like eight and a half years for this thing to get going finally. But he's changed philosophies, fellas. I mean, he had been a guy in the past. They know we're going to prove, we're going to play and, you know, build this thing. And but it's in the moment now. And you can see that with how they address free agency. It was about the secondary. They got a former chief in Charvarius Ward. They brought in Cam Bynum from the Vikings at safety. And then they make that massive deal prior to the end of the trade deadline a month ago, or earlier this month, I should say, for Sauce Gardner. I think for the first time this season, for the first time ever, for that matter, you're going to see that secondary with everybody healthy and back there. It looks like Ward is going to be able to play. You get Gardner, you have Kenny Moore, you have Nick Cross, and you have Cam Bynum. That, at least name recognition-wise, looks like it could be one of the better secondaries in the league. And I don't know how you guys feel with Kansas City and the lack of work they do up front to put consistent pressure on the quarterback. The hope is here that with that group in the secondary, that will help out guys like Leiatu, Latu, and help them survive the time without DeForest Buckner, which is a major missing piece for this defense all the way up until December the 14th now on IR. It'll help out that front, maybe put more pressure on a quarterback where that has not been consistent nor prevalent here so far this season. But I think we're all going to see that secondary. You guys, for the first time, just like we are, that may be kind of off the radar, but that should be, I think, a top-of-the-list thing that makes this matchup as interesting as anything else coming up this weekend.
Before we let you go, I got to ask at least about the owner and what from afar has been really interesting and how much does it get discussed in Indianapolis with Carly Ursay Gordon. Of course, she's visibly there on the, you know, on the sidelines and she's wearing the headset. And is it something where do fans love that? You know, they're winning, so I understand that's probably part of it, but is it one of those where if all of a sudden the team wasn't winning, people would say, what the hell's the owner doing down there?
Fellas, it's the reason why they're winning, right? It's like, for example, you guys would roll in there and in like jock straps and nothing else on if you guys dominated like you do the Kansas City. You probably are right now dominating the Kansas City market in what you do in your time slot. You know, it kind of goes back to you kind of are who you are, or in Bull Durham. You know, you are, you know, what you are. If you have, you know, fungus on your shower shoes, that's the reason why you're winning. But if you're not winning, it's meaning you're a slob. So Yeah, Jim Irsay, to me, the late Jim Irsay, people ask me this all the time, guys. Do you think he would have, you know, decided to green light the Sauce Gardner deal or allowed the money to be spent and really focus in on this season if he were still there as he was before he passed away back in May? And without question, he would. He always wanted a winner. But I'll say this, Carly Irsay Gordon has been fantastic with how she has dealt with everything. And you just kind of, even though you're watching and keeping track of your, because your ownership, your product, you're letting the people you hire do their jobs. You're not micromanaging. She may be taking notes, but she's trying to learn this on the fly. So there's no micromanagement there. So I think that certainly makes everybody comfortable. But when you get down to it, it's all about winning. And if you're winning, no matter what you're doing, fellas, you're doing it right. And until further notice, that's how you continue to do it.
Do the Colts win on Sunday?
I picked them to lose on Sunday. And Cam Bynum is not happy with me because he was on yesterday. So I am not. No, I in terms of the number, I think they cover it. I just think it's one of these games, you know, these tight games. You mentioned the one-score games and the success the Chiefs normally have had in recent memory that they haven't been having or didn't have, I guess, last week. But I think that changes coming up on Sunday, and I think that the Colts are going to have some questions to answer. And you get a Texans team that's all of a sudden, you know, have new life, you know, decided to be pumped into them by virtue of that win last night of that defense. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a one-score game, actually a one-point game, and I think Kansas City ends up winning the home field, and I think Mahomes is going to have the opportunity to be some old-school Mahomes force coming up on Sunday. So Colts fans are going to be mad at me, too, for that assessment, but that's just what my belief is.
Hey, thanks for coming on the show, and glad you got the shower in before you hopped on the show as well.
Hey, I got to be clean, fresh and clean. I got a remote today, man. Are you guys allowed to go out and do remotes and drink beers and stuff for 3 hours?
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, people should beg to have our gig, shouldn't they?
Yeah, it's
hey, what are you doing all day? Oh, I'm talking sports and drinking beers and then going
home. We make cocktails every Friday at 1 on this show. Let me tell you this.
Yes, and then Ubering
that's right.
Home, let me say that, because we're all play the level of responsibility. But, guys, man, great talking to you. Call me anytime. Shout out to Dean Nixon over there. Tell him to take it easy on the Bengals gear, okay? Especially
right.
If Burrow returns, right? Take it easy on it.
There you go. That's John Michael Vincent, JMV 107.5, the Fan in Indy. Good to check in with him, get his perspective on Chiefs and Colts. Yeah, he sent out a tweet before the show saying, hold on, guys, I'm about to step out of the shower. I'll call you in a second. And so that was in reference to his tweet. But good guy. We've had him on, I think, once or twice before. Certainly different spot, though. So he's picking the Chiefs to win, though. On Sunday,
I saw your guys' reaction to that. I thought you were surprised.
I mean, 8-2 squad. Chiefs are 5-5. The Daniel Jones injury doesn't concern me yet, but it is weird because he's never had any injury pop up on the injury report at all. He's been playing not as good football, and now they're saying it's a calf injury coming off of a bye. Like, I think that people are lost in that. It's not like he played a game last week. He was gone for an entire week on a bye week, came back, and then had a calf injury.
Yeah, they just tweaked something, ever so slightly in practice. That's why, as he said, when they practice here in a little bit, people will be keeping an eye. Like, what's his mobility? Is he a full participant? Is he limited? I think we all believe he's going to play, but just is it enough to where there's actually an impact on that? One thing I will say, I mentioned before we had him come on the show, which is there is always trends. You can use a trend to make your point for picking anything. We've talked about that, right?
Your stats teacher in high school will tell you this very quick.
You can find a trend to make you feel good or back up your support your point if you want to. This one is not unique to Kansas City because, like, the history that Mahomes and the Chiefs have had, look, this year, a lot of that just has been thrown out the window. They have not hit the same benchmarks, whether it's the one-score games or whatever. This one is more about what has happened to other teams prior to Kansas City in these spots. So the Chiefs are 3.5-point favorites.
And on paper, you're like, why?
Right. And they were 4.5-point favorites at close against Denver, and they lost outright. So I am not saying that they know every single result. Of course not. It's not that simple. But the Chiefs are the 15th team since 1990 that was 5-5.
So 35 years
or worse, and they've been favored against a team that's won 80% or more of their games. That's
so at
a
least
scenario.
8-2 or maybe more.
Yeah, so that's okay. A scenario. 5-5 or worse team, 8-2 or better team. The 14 other times this has happened, the 14 teams that were in the identical spot basically as the Chiefs, those teams, perfect. 14-0, And also, if you care, they covered 12 times, pushed twice. That's pretty crazy. So why are they, when the books have had a team even at 5-5 favorite against a team record wise that is perceived to be way better, the team that was favored for a reason basically won outright and covered at a 90%+ clip.
It is look, that's obviously a pretty strong favor of the Chiefs to have that stat working there. It goes back to my problem this year, which is they historically have been very good at either maintaining these kind of stats or defying them. This year, they've been bad at it. And, like, why have they been bad at it? Is a lot of different reasons why. But I've said this. I mean, again, the team is not as bad as their record is. That I do truly believe about the Chiefs. Doesn't mean they're going to make the playoffs or those things. I do not think they are as bad as their record shows. And so if I think they're one or two games better, or should be, they would actually be, I don't think they're a 10-0 team who's played 5-5. But do I think they should be 7-3 who played 5-5? Yes, I do. And if the Chiefs were 7-3 going against the 8-2 Colts at home, what do I think the point spread would be? 3.5, man. I mean, the line makes sense if you've watched every Chiefs game and simply didn't just look at their record. Again, it does not mean or guarantee they will win on Sunday, but there is some logic in it for me. And I don't think that Vegas is like way off for making them a favorite. I can't say that I hate that trend.
Yeah. Someone says that's just like the stat you gave when the Chiefs have the lead in the first quarter. Two things, but this is not a Chiefs specific stat though. That's awesome. So this is a 14 other teams prior to Kansas City. And on the first quarter stat, while the Chiefs were, what was it, 30-0 when leading after the first quarter or something, they're still 30-1 or whatever it is, or 30-2 or something. It's still an insane stat.
Yeah, but whatever their number is, it's still pretty good.
But yes, I get it. Look, this one is not even directly tied to Kansas City. So maybe that makes you feel better. If you're saying, hey, like you're jinxing the Chiefs, the stat I just mentioned has nothing to do with Kansas City. Has nothing to do with the Kansas City Chiefs. It is just the fact that if you're asking the question out loud, it's crazy the Chiefs are favored by 3.5. They're 5-5. They're 8-2. I'm just telling you, 14 other times teams have been in that same spot and the team that was favored is perfect. That's all.
Yeah.
I do with that what you will. I'm not go bet on the Colts if you want. I don't care. I'm just saying. I thought it was very interesting.
It is an interesting stat. Of course it is. Because I'm assuming, like, if you're in Indianapolis or you're nationwide, you're like, wait, rewind a second. You're telling me that the Chiefs, who are 5-5, losers of two games in a row, and have not, truthfully, have beaten like one winning team the entire year. Like, that's the one thing about the Chiefs that still gives you some pause is their schedule is difficult. There's no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. But their record against playoff teams this year stinks.
Yes.
They lost to the Jags. They lost to the Broncos. They lost to the Chargers. They lost to the Eagles. These are all playoff teams. They've lost, you know, and a matter of fact, the fringe playoff teams, the ones who are just barely out, like Detroit, they beat, but that team's not even technically in the playoffs at the moment. So right. If you talk about teams actively in the playoffs, they don't have a single win against a currently in the field playoff team. They've lost them all. So like, I get the idea of how do we get from there to the Chiefs are a favorite? Well, they're at home against a team that no one believes in and a team that is better than their record. I'm not saying they're great. Again, I'm not saying the Chiefs are perfect, but they're better than 5-5. And so like when you get, and I think the Colts are probably slightly worse than 8-2. They're probably closer in quality of team than we'd like to admit. The one thing I'd give the Colts the edge on is they have consistently been the best offense in football from week one all the way through now.
Yeah.
Even including the bad games.
Look, I'll admit, I'd feel way better if the Colts were not coming off a bye week. Like I just would. I mean, the fact that they have had all this time with Lou Anarumo, their defensive coordinator, who has a history, as we all know, going back to the Cincinnati days against an Andy Reid offense that we just got done spending much of the week discussing how teams maybe have caught on a little bit. Yeah, that part makes me nervous. You know, I think if you're trying to be optimistic, you would say, well, did last week force the Chiefs to really truly look inside and evaluate differently? I'm not necessarily convinced that the offense is going to be run much differently.
No, they came out of the bye and did the same thing.
Exactly.
So it's going to be the same
thing. It's more about, do I think they're going to execute better? I don't think like suddenly Andy Reid's going to listen to what everybody's been saying from the outside and they're just suddenly going to be a team that goes under center 30% of the time on Sunday. Now, I would like it to be like a 10% increase. That'd be awesome. But they're not going to drastically shift their whole offensive philosophy. And by the way, like nor should they midseason. But I think it's really whether or not, in particular, Patrick Mahomes, when he has to make that big 3rd-and-2 throw on Sunday, this time he connects with Breshad Smith. Maybe it's not to Breshad Smith. Maybe it's to Rashee Rice
like
or Kelce.
I kind of like him score a touchdown this week. Is that
I know
wrong?
You would, but like there is also some of me like, hey, in that spot, as much as I want Breshad Smith to continue to grow, I don't know if I want to rely on Breshad Smith on 3rd-and-2 when I got to have it. You know, I would like to, I would like to maybe see if I don't know what read that was for Mahomes on that play. But my point
it's
is
like the part of watching football that we can't know.
Yeah, I don't try to pretend that
we. I don't
care
if it's the 10th read. His ass was wide open for a first down.
Right.
You know, like make the throw, and that's tough. And I get it, but like there is. You're just saying. There's a history behind this that points to
it's a pretty strong
when they choose to favor a team who's at least three games worse than their opponent, despite the fact we're this far into the season.
Yep.
They're favoring them typically for some reasons, and those reasons tend to favor the team that is still
14-0.
Despite
14-0. Let's hope it is
35 years. How long have you been alive?
Yeah, that's true. By a year. By a year. Yep. Don't forget on Sunday you can always count. On the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game all season long, kicking off with a Week 12 matchup between the Colts and Chiefs. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Of course, pregame coverage here on 96.5 The Fan begins 3 hours before the noon kick. Joshua Briscoe will be hosting pre and post, and we chat with Briscoe next and ask him about the Colts and what they're bringing to the table on Sunday. And what does he make of this Chiefs defense going up against Daniel Jones?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.